Yeah, we're sitting in the shade of the big top where pretty much everything's been taken down. I've got a 40-metre counterweight ladder to load into the back of my truck along with 27 crash mats and a Chinese pole.
And no roof rack. The Andy says roof rack.
Yeah. It's a removals lorry, it's pretty big, but it's pretty much on its limit of weight as well. You got a light, or have I got a light?
I've got a light. So, yeah, so that getting that tent was quite a thing, wasn't it? And trying to put it up for the first few times.
I was really polite and quite sort of... Because it's all these big grown-ups, it's their big tent, and I'm just watching it go out thinking, if the wind picks up, it's just going to fall over. Because they had the tent almost at full height. And then they were dragging the canvas out and putting the ratchet straps to the stakes, and all the stakes were in. And but the guy who built it was very much like, this is how we do things. And Henry Bastardoni, he was there, and the next time we put it up, it was a lot calmer, and a lot quicker, because it took 2 days to put it up the first time. We turned out it was halfway up. Bloody hell, it's a cathedral.
Trying to remember. I think it went up first in that field somewhere down the eight, not far from
here.
Yeah,
it's just down, well, it's about 10 miles from here. I forgot the name of the place. It's right on the corner, it's a little farm.
Yeah.
I live about 5 miles away from there.
Right.
So every time I drove past it, it makes me giggle.
Yeah. And I think on that tent crew, who was there?
So there's Paddy was there, and he...
Yeah.
Tom Rack, Paddy...
Dennis.
Howie, Dennis,
me,
you were there. It was no, it wasn't Mick. Who was the Welsh? Was it Heath? Was Heath there? Maybe you came to the
you
next one.
And then we had it up
in their park in Cardiff, where the something gardens. Oh no, did was
we
that
did,
before,
we
or did we do the game ID card before her?
We had it up by Bath.
Put up on the top
of
the hill of Bath in Duncan's dad's place.
Yeah.
And first time we put it up, army helicopter flew over the top, circled round it twice, shot back the way it came, and about half an hour later, two Land Rovers full of squaddies comes driving into the field. You can see them on their radios going, yes, sergeants, it's a tent. Yeah, and there's some trucks and looks like some hippies. And they all sort of drove off a bit sad.
That it wasn't a spaceship.
It was funny because it just looks... Because there's no stakes showing and all those side... there's no guy ropes showing.
Yeah.
It doesn't look... It looks like a totally freestanding structure, just like it's landed.
Mm.
I absolutely adored that tent.
Mm.
There's some... I was constantly getting into arguments about how it was stored or how it was rolled. You know, so, you're going to damage it. You're going to damage it. But,
and then I think the third time it got put up was in Cooper's Field, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I can remember putting it up for some youth event.
It was, yeah, and then...
Where there was about 50 people trying to help put it up and...
Yeah,
lots of people standing around.
It went up in... Well, my 30th birthday and the No Fit Estate AGM... Or end of year party or some kind of big thing happened, and the gay Mardi Gras all within 3 days. And so I can't remember what that was, but we had to go up and open the rain flaps because it was so hot in there.
Mm.
And it was raining upwards. It was probably like 2,000 very sweaty gay men just raving in a hot sunny afternoon in a blackout tent. And God, it was hysterical. Just this sweat blasting out at about 40 miles an hour.
Then there was the immortal community show in the park.
Yeah, and you had the Sci Circus up the road from it, didn't you?
In the castle.
I saw the first half of the Sci Circus twice, but I never saw the second half. I saw the first half at Glastonbury, and then I had to run off and do a gig. And then I saw the first half again when they were in the castle, but then I had to run back to the Flying Saucer. First half was brilliant.
Sci Circus, yeah. Yeah, that was nice. And we all got together one day for a big meal, maybe a Sunday dinner.
Massive meal, yeah.
really big meal. And it was also, of course, Riley had just died.
And his friends put him in a rocket. And the very last firework, this massive firework.
Then we, Forenza reworked it and it went out on tour, yeah. Immortal, didn't it? And then it...
Yeah, that was a funny one, because it was that classic Nathan State thing of, we haven't got the money to do this. But we'll do it anyway. And... there was like, I don't know how many times, but the entire, everyone's wages were covered by Tim and Tom's Visa cards. What do you call it? Yeah, we have debit, credit cards. Just because they reckoned they'd probably get their money back, you know. And proper leap of faith. And with that lower budget, of course, couldn't spend anything on marketing. So we had this fantastic moment where a lot of the performers sort of had a little meeting, and they said, and they sort of proposed that it wasn't fair for them to perform if it was a really small crowd. And you know, Tom's just had a shock on his face. Why would you not perform? It's what we do. That's the fun bit. And people saying, well, okay, well, what if there's more performers than audience? Then we shouldn't be made to perform them. So I was making you perform. You're employed to perform. And I'm just like, this is fucking stupid. If one person buys a ticket, then we do a show, because they bought a ticket. The show belongs to them, because they made the effort to come and buy a ticket. It's not like you're less important if you're in a small group. And then Robin Collins, who's assistant stage manager at the time, who now does amazing, massive events and big stuff, he probably learned a lot back in those days. He goes, we've got to do the show. And everyone looks at me and went, why? Because if we don't, we're just a bunch of cunts in a car park. And I use that line all the time. I'm sort of little, oh, I'm tired, I don't even want to do this show, it's not fair. It's like, how many performers really ever get to do shows? And like get to tour a show and do it 100 times and actually make it really bloody good. Mm. You know, the last Immortal was a really, really good show. Not the very last one, but this moment at Edinburgh Festival where I just suddenly had this proper moment of like real sadness, because like, last Wednesday was the best show we will ever do, we're never going to top it. Yeah, Gareth did his solo rope and that amazing roll down where he just rolled above everyone's heads and, just dropping 10 metres of rope through him like that. I mean, I've still never seen anybody do anything like that. And we got the counterweight, just so sussed. Had a really fast counterweight from the centre of the tent. Me and Shane had got the hoop piece. It was just beautiful. And then all the crazy flying around, Howie and the walk-ups and the big leaps off the poles. And it was just beautiful. And yet, nothing in the way. Everyone could fly wherever they liked. So these massive bungee routines. And yeah, and then we did Taboo, they just filled the entire tent with wires and bits of truss, and there's no room to do anything. And everything's really complicated, and the lighting designer didn't understand the circus, there's lights in the way of everything, and it's just like, oh, bollocks, start again. And it's sort of... So learn a lot. Yeah, mostly we learn from our mistakes or from other people's mistakes. It's like, overly complicated stuff doesn't really give you any more. But then again, if it's too simple, it's a bit dull. So it's like, kind of, how do you make that balance?
So which was your favourite show?
It was at Edinburgh. It had me and Shane doing the counterweighting hoop, which was...
Was that Black Bride?
Yeah, but it was sort of Black Bride. Well, no, it's the white dress. Was it the white dress with the massive belt?
So it was the White Bride.
Yeah, it had this really big balloony dress. I mean, yeah, it became like an art form then, the counterweighting. It wasn't just lifting things off the ground. And Gareth's solo rope, Luna Gareth's double rope, and the swinging, and the bungees coming out of the cargo net. I might be imagining 10 different shows, but
no,
it was just beautiful show.
Yeah.
It really, really worked. And it was fast, and it had that thing that people had those days where they're Forenza shows were really exciting to be part of. People daren't, no performer daren't lose focus or slip out of their character. They just totally went with it. And that, I've not seen that in a long time. It's always somewhere about chatting or taking pictures, even performers taking pictures of the other ex.
I think at that point, because you've done it a few times as well, everyone's characters had really developed. You know, everyone kind of knew who they were.
The friends who had learnt to base characters on around the performer and how they worked, rather than trying to fit a performer. She wanted the Black Bride, and this is the image she had, and so she's trying to get. So Alice immediately took the Black Bride thing. So it's a funeral. It wasn't meant to be a funeral. There's passion, there's sadness, but it's like the whole thing was always interpreted slightly wrong. But once you understood the physical performance, you can't be that theatrical. You have to keep within the constraints of what, you know, just like talking and swinging. You have to. You can't just talk the whole time. You can only talk at certain points of the swing because you've got to be able to. It's And so to see Firenze learn and understand circus so beautifully. There's a proper clash between theatre and circus, I felt, the first few shows.
Do you know anybody else who does that, the same kind of stuff that Firenze does? Because he really does have a bit of a niche, doesn't she?
Yeah. There. I mean, people say, oh, yeah, it's very Firenzian, yeah, it's a typical Firenze show. It's like, but she's got a very, very strong style. And I shied away from sort of creating characters. I like with people in, you know, in our show, for example, we're very much just extensions of ourselves. We're not trying to create a character which then you've got to live with. And if you're touring and you start not liking this character, you're fucked. Whereas I think there should be more theatre and much better performance in circus. It's always either shit theatre hiding behind good circus or shit circus hiding behind good acting, and I think we concentrate on a really high skill level, and then anything we put in just it's got to work performatively, but it's not like,
hi guys,
I'll be a cowboy.